It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here and checking out the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around if you like this type of thing, interviews with artists. I'll do it three times a week for you. You get a new episode every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. All the usual spots, including iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org. YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, I get to talk with actor, musician, Nat Wolff. We're first going to be discussing The Consultant. This is the new Prime series, Amazon Prime Video, that explores the sinister relationship between boss and employee. In fact, we're going to discuss what he likes about the weirder side of cinema, what it was like to work with Christoph Waltz in this series. And he'll tell us that musically, he even took some inspiration from both Rod Stewart and Nine Inch Nails. Now, Nat's also going to detail his latest music with his brother Alex. We'll hear about recording their latest single at Jack Met of AJR's house. And the obsessive nature that he says has led to enough songs for a triple album? So let's do it. We're talking The Consultant. Out now on Prime, it's Kyle Meredith with Nat Wolff.
Hey, Kyle, how's it going, man?
The Consultants. Holy cow. What a great, weird, warped, and beautiful series that you've had here. I'll just start. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, man, it's like, I'm so proud of it. And people seem to really be responding to it. It's really exciting.
So on a story like this, you know, I was even looking up afterwards. It's like, what do we call this? Oh, it's maybe speculative fiction. Like, how do you explain what this is to people?
I have no idea. It's been impossible. Like, for the last year of telling people that I'm on the show, they're like, what is the show? And I have no idea what to tell them. I'm like, it's a satire and it's a thriller and it's funny, but it's really dark. And I think like the best things, what I said was when I read the pilot, I was like, wow, okay, cool. I get this. This is like a mysterious, you know, this has got a really interesting tone and I like these characters and it's sort of like a dark workplace comedy. And then the ending, that surprise ending, when I read the script, I screamed in my apartment and I was like, I have to be a part of the show. I could have never predicted that in a million years. It just took it to this, like almost, this guttural level where I felt like, and even when I watched it, it's like sickening and this really, it's totally my taste, but it is impossible to describe. So I wouldn't know what to tell you.
Yeah. No, I'm not with you. And by the way, the ending, it's like, it's an obvious thing to say, right? Like, this is what we're waiting for. This is what I was waiting for. Like, what's it going to be? What's it? And then you finally show it and they're like, thank you. But it is, I don't know, man. There's, as I was watching this, thought, you know, we've talked about this, you know, a few years ago that we were in the golden age of television, again, with the golden age of streaming. But it really feels now that we're in a really great age of being allowed weirder things to come around. You know, I think back maybe to Black Mirror. I mean, it's always been around, but it seems like it really got kickstarted. For yourself, like, is this a sweet spot for you?
I mean, it's a sweet spot in terms of it's my taste. You know, like, I love watching. When I read, especially like the third episode of the show, I was like, this is sort of Twilight Zone meets Training Day or something. You know, it's like, it's so out and so interesting. And and every single script, because the way Tony writes is really from his unconscious, and he doesn't really outline. He kind of just he goes with his gut. So we would get scripts in our emails, and, you know, we knew the rough outline of our characters, but we get scripts in our emails. It was like Christmas. Every time I'd be like, oh my God, I can't fucking believe I could do this. And at the end, I'd be screaming, and I'd get texts from Brittany, who plays, you know, Elaine, and Amy, who plays Patty, and we'd be like, did you read the next thing? And then, you know, even Christoph, you know, who's like been in a million incredible things, he's like, the writing is so incredible on the show. And yeah, everybody felt it from the beginning.
I've got to do that one question, the what's it like working with question. And with Christoph Waltz, for him to be such, I mean, because of the styles he's come at, what is it like working with him? Because it feels like this would be different from a lot of actors.
Oh, yeah, totally. I said it's like getting traded to a basketball team that LeBron James is on. You're just like, oh, man, now I'm going to get a championship. Fuck yeah. Like, I'm so glad. And you're just like, let me just pick up whatever magic dust I can off this person. You know, he's like he's a force of nature. But it's funny, in real life, he's actually really gentle and magnetic, you know, quietly magnetic and really warm. That's why I think, like, in a movie like Inglourious Basterds or something, he gives that character, Hans Landa, which could, if you hire an asshole to play a villain, you just kind of push away. You know, we've all seen it when somebody's, their essence is just, it's like icky. You don't want to be near it. Whereas somehow when he plays those characters, you just love them. You just like lean in and you want to, and that's how you feel when he talks to you. You just can't help, you know, staring at him.
But then, you know, watching him work, I mean, the mannerisms that he gives, like, I like hearing that, you know, once the camera's off, it's sort of a different thing, because it feels like.
It's weird. It's kind of the same. Like, he kind of brings that warmth to this guy, which makes him so seductive that you. But I have to say that he's coming to my second preview. I'm doing a play right now, and my first preview is tomorrow. My second preview is on Wednesday. And Christoph texted me today being like, I'm coming to your preview tomorrow night. I just want to let you know, and I'd love to see you afterwards for a drink. And I'm like, why would you tell me that? And then I was like, are you sure you don't want to come late in the ring? He's like, I won't be in New York. I'm like, all right, well, thank you. So, you know, I'm still very, you know, he still has a presence that I want, you know, there's no way I'm going to get him out of my head. Although I do have to talk to the audience in the play, and the idea of not knowing and just staring right into his eyes would have been even more terrifying.
What's the play? I've got to ask. I'll be in New York this week.
I'm to see it. It's The Seagull. It's The Seagull. Seagull / Woodstock. It's like a modern adaptation of Seagull that we're doing. And Parker Posey plays my mother. And yeah, it's incredible. Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Nat Wolf. Let me say also about you, here we are talking about Christoph, but your transformation even, you know, over the course of these, what is it, 8 episodes, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll throw it back on you to see how your eyes are looking and everything by the end of this. Are you able to, do you carry this with you? Because again, there's so much going on in this show.
Yeah, every time I got a new script, I'd be like, I don't know how they could put Craig through any more than they're putting him through, but each episode is even more. I mean, I you know, tend to, it's always different every job, but I tend to try to stay in the sort of vibrational mood place of the scene for the day. And then try to drop it and sort of rest, you know, at night and then come back. But what I find is hard, you know, because people think maybe that would be exhausting, but I actually find it exhausting dropping it and then revamping up into it. So I would rather just kind of stay there. And I use like a lot of music and meditation and different things to sort of, you know, stay in a certain kind of zone. It also, for some reason, it makes it more fun for me.
Now, when you say music, are you talking like meditative music or are you talking?
I'm talking like regular music. I had like a whole playlist for Craig, which was kind of in the rhythm of the writing. You know, there was kind of a True Blue by Rod Stewart was one of the ones that was that really got me there for some reason.
Interesting, because you know my first thought was maybe something darker, maybe something, you know,
yeah,
heavier.
And then like in certain scenes it was like Hurt by the Nine Inch Nails.
That one makes more sense.
Yeah,
that goes easily with what's going on, because I was going to bring up the band too with you and your brother, with Alex, and what you get, because Heads on Loose I think is the latest single that just came out, right?
So checking that out, that's so sweet. Yeah, it just came out like a week and a half ago. And it's really been like doing well online, which is really, you know, because that's where people listen to music now. But we did the album. We like spent the entire COVID, the real lockdown part together. And we brought each other a bunch of songs we'd written and we just worked on them forever. And then we booked out a studio for 11 days and we'd heard that the Beatles would make albums in 11 days. And we were like, if we give ourselves this time window and we don't let ourselves, because we have a tendency to just go on and on and on and like keep fixing. But if we just say that's it, you know, maybe it'll spur something. And it really was having that time limit. It really like gave us an energy in the studio. We were like, because we play all the instruments. So we're running back and forth, like, you know, oh, let's go play a bass party, run and play a bass part. Like, wow, I'm playing a piano part. And we go, you know, it was hectic and chaotic and great.
So for it being now, you know, a handful of years since, you know, the last album, it's been a very long time since the Foley.
Yeah.
I mean, I it sounds like, of course, you know, lockdown kind of afforded you that time. But now having all that time, I mean, you know, a decade in the past, you're a different person. You know, the last time we heard a Foley, even the EP in the middle there, like, what did that mean for this? Like, who did you all want to be? What was that sort of the case?
Well, you know, I think the songwriting has grown. I mean, you know, in a really incredible way, Alex and I have really grown together as musicians, and he really inspires me, and I inspire him. And I think one thing that's different is that we have a confidence in the studio now that we didn't before. And we used to kind of rely on a producer or engineers or things that we did. You know, we had an incredible engineer, but we you know, we produced it ourselves and we really orchestrated it ourselves. And, you know, there's a song, my dad was really sick for a while with cancer. And I wrote a song about that experience and a lot of my guilt and feelings towards that. And we had my dad play a really beautiful piano solo intro that leads into the song. And he'd been working on the song, he came and he said, you know, I can't ever hear the lyrics. Can I read the lyrics? And he read the lyrics and he started crying. And he said, and my dad doesn't cry. And he said, put me in the booth. And they're like, okay. And my dad's a genius pianist. And he goes in and he does it in one take. It's like, I mean, I was just bawling and everybody. And then he's like, all right, put me in another take. We're like, no, that's it. That's it. That's one of the most meaningful moments for me on the record.
And the Table for Two, is that right?
Called Table for Two, yeah. And that song's called All My Plans.
I mean, this sounds, it always sounds cliche when I say this. It sounds like a personal record. So many artists use that. But, you know, hearing about that story, hearing about the way you guys have talked about the latest thing with Heads on Loose, because I feel there's even, if I want to, the connection to make with a consultant, because what your character is going through isn't the same thing that is specifically in the song, but there is a very heavy mental health aspect to this track, right?
Totally, totally. You know, it's based on my own struggles with my mental health. And then I had a friend that was really struggling, and, you know, and I had been in the exact same position. And it's also this strange thing where I do feel like there are these cycles in life where in order to get to the next spot, you have to kind of spin out. And for me, it was like 2021. And then there was this friend who's younger than me who I knew since he was 13, and he was going through this really hard time at like 19, 20. And that was sort of the impetus, you know, and he had had his father pass away, and that sort of, you know, and he was kind of doing drugs and stuff. And that was sort of the original impetus.
Because I guess it goes back a few years. I mean, finishing it up lately, but what, 2018 for this song?
Oh my God. Yeah. 2018. It's changed a bit and permutated, but we started playing it live in 2018. Yeah.
Yeah. And what does AJR have to do with it?
Oh, wow, man, you really do your research. So Jack is one of both of our best friends, but he's like Alex's best friend, and those guys are geniuses. And we just went over to their house, and I said, hey, man, let's demo the song. He always loved it. I'm like, yeah, let's demo it. And then it was before we made the record. It ended up just sounding the vocal. He put me in his closet, and we had like, you know, T-shirts and stuff to make it so it didn't echo. And I was like sitting in a thing, and I kind of ended up like rolling to the floor. And we still use that vocal, and the entire track as a whole. We added some real instruments in there, but the heart of that track was in Jack Metzger's little apartment. His real name is Jack Metzger, but
I only know him as the Met Boys. Yeah, I've had him on here too a few times. I mean, seriously, they're songwriting geniuses. I really do believe that.
Yeah, and their production is so great. And I don't know if you've ever been to one of their shows, but it is like, it's like being at a party. And you know, actually Jack used to play with us. Like we used to have him play. He was like a rhythm section when we used to play live and stuff. So we've all made music together for a long time.
Yeah. So are you going to take this out on the road? Is there those chances for collaborations?
It would be a really fun tour, like the Brothers tour.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Nat Wolf. For everything you've got going on here, consultant, as we're talking about the play and everything, I mean, is there time once this record is out that you guys are going to see the road at all?
Yeah, we want to hit the road. I think and the true reason why we've taken so long to put the album out is because we want to put it out, the full album, when we have time to do a real tour, at least in the States, like to do a real tour in the States. I mean, I would love to do a tour in Europe, or to do it in South America or something. But the first stop would be to do a tour in the States. And we're both so busy, but we're going to, you know, we'll make a chunk of time, and that's when we'll put the record out, you know. Yeah. But now we have like a whole new host of songs. So we're going to go back in the studio. So we might have another record ready by the time we put this out. Or maybe we'll make it like a triple album and like have like 40 songs come out, like do like a, you know, I don't know, crazy quadruple.
That's Billy Corgan stuff right there. That's what that is.
Literally thinking, should I say Smashing Pumpkins?
Oh wait, I'm wearing the Melancholy shirt.
That's, no way. Yeah, that's my favorite.
Coincidence. Yeah, nice coincidence right there. Well, you know, I'm a fan anyway. I love what you do musically. I love seeing you on the screen, and to be able to have a career that affords sort of both of these. Do you go to the same well? Do you find, you know, on for both sides, I'm talking for acting and songwriting?
I think it's the exact same well. You know, it's like fingers on a fist. It's like it's dipping into some kind of need I have to be creative. And I actually find it to be really healing. You know, I find anytime I'm not doing something creative, and it doesn't have to be professional, you know, it could just be like, you know, if I go on a vacation, I'll be writing, you know, writing poetry or writing songs every day, because if I'm not, I tend to feel stagnant, and there's this energy that gets stuck, you know, and it starts to feel like anxiety or something. So I feel really lucky to have those outlets. You know, I don't know how people don't, you know,
right. The obsessive nature helps quite a bit, I think, for
I'm a total obsessive compulsive, so it's perfect.
Has that always been there for you?
Yeah, and it's really in my family. You know, it's in my dad, it's in Alex, it's in me, and it used to be, you know, and some other things too, they used to be that are mental health related, and I used to think of them in a more of a shameful, or I used to have more shame connected to them, and now I realize that they are you know, equal parts good as destructive. Yeah.
Well, it looks like you put it in a positive place. So I'll wrap up with this too. You know, with the consultants, I mean, here we are. There is an ending to that. Do you feel like there's more story that could be told?
I think so. You know, I think, you know, in a really great way, it's one of those shows where they do have an ending where you could, you know, potentially end it there. But I'm curious to see how these three characters, especially these three, you know, Lane, Craig and Pat Offal come together.
I'll be on board if it happens too. Nat, thank you so much for taking the time. I'm seriously looking forward.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
no, I'm looking forward to the music too. I keep like triple album. Yes, I'll take it.
Yeah.
My thanks to Nat Wolf, the consultant, out now on Prime. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, before you get out of here, please hit that subscribe button. You get three new interviews sent to you every single week. New ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so you can keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or of course, YouTube for the video versions. Anywhere you get your podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. An hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them, the address is at Kyle Meredith. So do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.